Environmental improvements we seek in this area have to come hand in hand with continued and increased economic success of this district as well.
Hand in hand, yeah.
And I do want to underscore that the port has, for a variety of reasons, but the port has been absolutely investing in both improving the environmental health of the properties that you're responsible for and also their economic health as well. So thank you.
Well, I think, Mayor, as we said to you the other day, we are very committed to evaluating the prospects for developing mitigation opportunities even in the area of the Lower Reach, which, we're at the early stages of, but certainly shows some promise.
And that's having opportunities for businesses to do the mitigation offsite is key. So that's great. Thank you.
So can I ask Bill a question? Mm-hmm. So have you had a chance to look at the amendments that we're talking about?
You in the royal sense, yes. Behind me are a lot of yous, people who've looked extensively at this. Now, the most recent set of amendments that were being referenced here, I think we've had like a day, and I think there is some deep concern about the amendments as it relates to the EPA and the Superfund. But we've had very limited opportunity to review those, and so you'll get more feedback about that.
Okay, tonight or follow up after tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, great.
Mr.
Hammaker.
Hammaker, sorry.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Commissioners, for this opportunity. My name's Don Hammaker. I'm the president of Schnitzer's Metal Recycling Business. As you probably know, Schnitzer's been here for over 100 years. I manage, are responsible for operations of 42 different locations around the United States. Schnitzer, in all of its locations, has a long history of being a good corporate citizen and in the communities we work in, and we have a very demonstrated commitment to the environment. Tonight I'd like, though, to ask for a little more time to work over some of the important details of the river plan and the new river review process so that we can get this right from the start. I appreciate the fact that people have been dedicated and have worked on this for over 10 years, and I'm sure there's a degree of impatience. But from our perspective, the details still aren't fixed, and it creates problems. Schnitzer, as you probably know, has participated in this process for all of those 10 years. We've had the
10 years, really?
Ann Gardner here has
been at it 10 years. God
yeah.
bless her.
we've hired outside consultants, and we've been very involved. And as a result of that involvement, it has benefited us because we have learned about the other stakeholders' interests, and I think the people have done a good job of working together. But in our mind, this is not there, and close enough is not good enough. We should get the details done and agreed to, and then adopt them. Important processes such as establishing an accurate inventory of natural resources or establishing methods for mitigation costs are just not finished yet. And while complicated, they're vital because they determine how long it will take and how much it will cost us and other businesses to improve our operations and invest in our infrastructure. Uncertainty, as you all know, is crippling to business, and we feel that there's uncertainty here.
So just to be clear, because your time's up and I want you to be able to finish, is this plan is not finished until those details are finished, and they'll come back between now and the end of the calendar year.
Okay.
So what
is that, a statement or a question?
That's a statement.
Okay.
That's just, I want to make sure that you know that your representatives have mentioned that a number of times, and I agree with them, and that's why the plan moves forward. But obviously, and those details come back to the city council. So if it's technical now, wait till HEPIA comes back to the city council to review with the science panel. So we agree that those need to come back and be aired out.
I mean, I think you all understand that we deploy capital and we have limited capital. And
we do understand.
And time is everything to us.
Yep.
I just will close then the employment base in the harbor in Portland is pretty much unique. I mean, I've been to ports all over the world, and it's an irreplaceable economic resource, and I and we are hoping that we can get this right.
Thank you, sir, very much.
So, Mayor, just to follow up on what you said, so next week what we're voting on contains some language that allows for a continuation of a process that will conclude later this year with some of these other concerns being addressed later that we won't vote on next week?
No, the purpose is to – this is very much a policy that we are considering here. The regulations, the core of the regulations, which is the natural environment inventory, and also the calculation, various calculations, which are complex, those are going to be further fleshed out through the oversight committee, and also we've got a lot of scientific advisors and everyone's science advisors to sort of figure out. That comes back before the end of the calendar year. So this sets out the policy plan, but as we move through the other elements, there is also the opportunity for iterative changes to the plan as well.
Mayor, can I just get a clarification? Because my understanding, and we have a lot of testimony coming and a lot of follow-up, my understanding is this will not come back to us for another 4 or 5 weeks. Commissioner Leonard referred to next week.
It's not next week.
It's not next week. Okay.
No. We, the geographic scope of what we're dealing with here, the fact that we're dealing with economic issues and environmental issues, and because we want the regulations and we want the policies to do the hard work making it easier for business and making it easier to improve the environment at the same time, no, we will take our time to, there are a lot of pieces to this, we will take our time, the time we need.
That helps. Thank you.
Mr. Smith, welcome back.
Good evening, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Jeff Smith. I'm the president of the International Longshore Warehouse Union, Local 8, here in Portland, Oregon. I represent more than 500 men and women, some of who are here tonight, who make their living in the working harbor of the Willamette and Columbia Rivers. My members are the people who load and unload ships in our harbor, operating massive cranes and moving the containers that carry so much of global trade. We drive the trucks, top loaders, forklifts that move the containers around on the docks. But that's not all. We also load, unload autos, terminals 4 and 6, bulk dry chemicals, potash and soda ashes at terminals 4 and 5, wheat at 3 different grain elevators, steel at terminal 6, lumber and steel at terminal 2. Whatever comes to the public marine terminals and to many other private docks in the Portland area. Tonight, I'm asking you to do one thing, and that's support the working harbor by taking the time to get the river plan right. Here's some numbers you might hear a couple of times this evening. 50 industrial marine businesses in Portland support approximately 20,000 local jobs, bringing almost $1 billion in personal income to the region's economy. The average income of these jobs is $45,000, higher than Portland's average household income of $41,000. One out of every 9 jobs in the Portland area is located in or supported by the work done in the Portland Harbor Industrial District. So please, don't add unnecessary complexity and time to the process of maintaining and improving the infrastructure that makes these jobs possible. I know you have been working on this plan for a long time, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to adopt the plan when so many of the vital details are unresolved. I'm happy to be on this panel tonight with two of our important partners, Schnitzer Steel's Don Hemmecker and the Port's Bill Wyatt. You may not realize it, but you're looking at Portland's true creative class. And what?
Could do it, keep a straight face.
Don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger.
Who wrote that?
If you're so creative, you've got ugly ties.
And what we create are successful businesses, which in turn create jobs and wealth. The wealth the city we need to invest in environmental projects we'd all like to see on the Willamette. We are bound together here, commerce and the environment. So please, take the time to get this plan right from the start. Take the time to iron out the details. Keep working on those of us who work on the river every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith, and we will. Thank you all for your testimony. Next, we'll hear from the panel, environmental advocates, Bob Salinger from Audubon, Travis Williams from Willamette Riverkeeper, and Mike Houck from Urban Green Spaces. It's funny, he couldn't keep a straight face. Gentlemen, welcome back. I have Mr. Salinger first. Oh, Mr. Houck first. Is it by age or beauty? What are we doing?
Age.
Age, okay.
Well, actually, in a moment, I'll make that point. Mayor Adams, Commissioners, my name is Mike Houck. I'm here tonight representing the Urban Green Spaces Institute. And I actually started out in my written testimony to say I was pleased that we'd already resolved an issue you discussed earlier. I don't have time to go into it. I'm sure Bob will. But all I'll say is that Caitlin did a fabulous job of demonstrating why you do not want to abdicate your responsibility, the city's responsibility, for dealing with the river below ordinary high water. It is not duplicative. The city staff, and I've been at this for 30 years, I actually was asked to do the Goal 15 inventory in 1984, more than a quarter century ago. You were 21 years old at the time, I believe. And here we are tonight, still debating whether we want to take more time. And I'll tell you, the reason I was asked to help the city do the inventory pro bono, I will add, in 1984 was city did not have staff at that time with natural resource expertise. I'm exceedingly pleased to be able to sit here tonight and tell you that you have fabulous staff that have far more capacity than state and federal agencies. Caitlin is an example of that. There are others in the room tonight. Fortunately, within Portland Parks, Bureau of Environmental Services, and Planning and Sustainability. And I just want to make the point that based on my 30 years' experience, the city of Portland will not improve environmental conditions on the Willamette River if we leave it to the feds and the state. And that is not denigrating their abilities by any means. They have a very narrow focus. The city has a much broader focus. And you've already heard from citizens tonight say they do not want city council to give up the city's responsibility for dealing with the Willamette River. And so I'll simply say it's time to get on with it. It's been 26 years since I was out there walking with city staff. We walked every inch of the Willamette River Greenway. I took overlapping photos. Planning Bureau has photos going back to 84. And I can guarantee you that there's been degradation of habitat. And it's not just about fish, Commissioner Leonard. We're talking about upland species as well. So I'm fed up with waiting around for 26 years. You're going to hear from other citizens who are fed up with the fact that we still don't have a greenway through the city of Portland. The greenway is a myth at this point, and we need to move on and implement this now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Huck. Mr. Salinger.
Good evening. My name is Bob Salinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Audubon Society of Portland. I'm here testifying on behalf of Audubon's 11,000 members in strong support of the River Plan. The River Plan is a product of an extended process dating back to 2001 when the city first adopted the goals for River Renaissance. Over the course of the last 8 years, there have been nearly a dozen committees that have shaped the River Plan, and thousands of hours of citizen input has been incorporated. The plan spent nearly 6 months under review before the Planning Commission. It replaces a code that's more than 25 years out of date and hasn't been adequate to protect our river or serve our other objectives. It's time to move forward. We've discussed this thing to death. It's time to make a decision. The Willamette drains 11,500 square miles, and all the work that's being done upstream is undermined because of the degraded condition of the last 11 miles. The city's come up with a plan that does balance the economic, social, and environmental goals that it set out. It's a product of extensive compromise, and we'd really urge you to respect all the work that's gone into that compromising over the last better part of a decade. And we have truly compromised. We disagree with several elements of this plan. We disagree with several elements that the Planning Commission changed. But we still support it because we want to keep the integrity of the plan overall, and we believe compromise has to be part of this, and we believe it is time to move forward. But we've compromised as far as we can. If we compromise any further, this doesn't become an improvement plan. This becomes a degradation plan. And to that end, we are concerned about a couple of the changes that have been made at the last minute, some of the amendments. I go through those in detail in my comments. I'm not going to go through them now because I do want to focus on two issues that seem to still be in contention that are bigger than those. The first is regulatory authority below ordinary high water. To give up the city's authority below ordinary high water would render the river plan meaningless. It would gut the heart of the river plan. It would render its funding mechanisms irrelevant. But most importantly, it would deny the citizens of Portland a voice over what happens in our river. The suggestion that we should simply leave our river to the judgment of the state and federal agencies makes no sense. If state and federal regulatory authority was sufficient, we need to ask ourselves, why is our river so degraded today? We urge you to remain steadfast in retaining the city's regulatory authority over ordinary high water. It would truly be an ironic outcome of this process if, after years of thinking about our river, the decision was to give up that authority. And I would refer you to a letter from NOAA Fisheries dated April 1st, 2009, in which they stated, "Further, the city's jurisdiction below ordinary high water protects fish and wildlife resources that are not protected through other federal state programs. This may prevent new species from being added to the endangered species list. NIMS understands there has been discussion regarding whether the city should retain jurisdiction below ordinary high water because NIMS already regulates activities there. NIMS encourages the city to retain jurisdiction for multiple reasons. The city has a larger role in protecting ecosystems for all native species." So that's from the regulatory authorities. The second issue is financing. You heard from industry already that we're putting restoring the river on the backs of industry. That's simply not the case. The river plan establishes a new funding mechanism that would require industry to pay to mitigate for their direct impacts, for the impacts that they have. And it would also require them to add a little bit more for restoration.
I need you to wrap up.
Sure. The alternative is that we don't ask them to do that, the river continues to degrade, or we put those costs on the backs of taxpayers. So we believe it is time for them to step up and do their part. We're not asking them to do more than their part, simply their part. We believe the city has proposed a reasonable path forward. We've discussed this for a long time. We would urge you to move this process forward, adopt the river plan, and restore our river. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Williams.
Mayor Adams and commissioners, my name is Travis Williams, and I'm executive director and riverkeeper for Willamette Riverkeeper. We're an organization that works to protect and restore clean water and habitat throughout the Willamette Basin, and I think it's important to underscore one thing that Bob brought up, and that is the fact that we have tens of millions of dollars that have been and will be invested in the upper part of this basin to restore habitat for a range of species, but principally winter steelhead, spring chinook, and all of those fish that we're taking the time to study and improve habitat for and improve fish passage at the Corps of Engineers dams. Ultimately, the goal is to get them down through the city of Portland out to the Pacific Ocean. And having nodes of habitat, as prescribed in this plan, based on the fee that is part of every project, in my view, is not a heck of a lot to ask. And, you know, one thing that struck me tonight, I have a horrible tendency to make comments and then deviate from them because I hear other people speak and, you get a note here and a note there. But you would think with these massive projects that are at times proposed on various properties, it's almost unbelievable that a relatively small percentage to give back to this river is almost unthinkable in the city of Portland, certainly from the business community at this time. At least that's what they say. And what else are we to do but believe them? Well, I think that in some ways we have to look past that and say, most of these companies have benefited greatly from the Willamette for decades and decades and decades. And here we are asking to give a little bit back. And I think back to the arguments that were made by those who opposed Tom McCall in the late 60s, early 70s. It's the same stuff, and it's recycled over and over and over. And here I can put my canoe in a cathedral park and work my way downriver on the right side, and lo and behold, I get to a facility that's owned by at least in part by a foreign corporation, Toyota. And wow, look at their riverbank. Now, who knows, maybe brakes or accelerator issues will cause them problems, but it certainly hasn't been their ability to restore that bank and to make it look good. And that's a shining example in Portland Harbor of a public-private enterprise that has utilized this bank and created healthy habitat for
it. I need you to wrap up.
Okay. I think we need to think about that, and I think we need to think about where we are as a city, where our ethics are, where we feel we have to give back, instead of constantly listening to people who have one express interest when they're hired to defeat a plan and to poke as many holes in it as possible. What is the intent here?
Thank you, Mr. Bennett.
Thank you, Mayor.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Bob. In your testimony, your written testimony, you expressed some heartburn over the amendment at page 212, which would change from a P zone to a C zone, part of the bluff at the University of Portland. And you seem to argue in the alternative at the end that if UP is allowed to develop the bluff, the city should, quote, retain review authority via a C zone to ensure that environmental impacts are at least minimized and mitigated. Could you just elaborate on that for a second?
Sure. The original recommendation, which was also supported by the Planning Commission, and they talked about this extensively before the Planning Commission, was to put a P zone on the bluff. And the reason for that is because it's a very steep slope. It's a critical wildlife corridor. It has real value. University of Portland did make their case before the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission didn't accept it. We understand now that it is being changed to a C zone. We still support the P zone.
There's an amendment to that effect.
Right. We think it makes sense to keep the P zone on there for the reasons that the EC analysis talked about and also the Planning Commission affirmed. At bare minimum, though, we think a C zone should be on there because at least a C zone, a conservation zone, would ensure that there would be review and that the project that is done would be the impacts of the environment would be minimized and mitigated. We don't think that's ideal, but if they are going to build on the bluff, we think at least minimization and mitigation and ensuring that it's done in the most environmentally sensitive way possible is critical. So we'd hate to see the zoning lifted from that altogether.
So you want the floor at a minimum to be a C zone?
We would.
Absolutely. And I would concur with that. The whole function of the C zone is to ensure that as development is proposed, that there are discussions about the environmental impacts. If removing the zoning altogether, there are no environmental concerns.
Okay, thank you. And by the way, thanks to all three of you for your work on the No Wake Zone at Ross Island Lagoon and the work you did at the
We're still at it.
Marine Board, and we're phase two to follow. But thanks for your advocacy on the first part.
One thing I did forget to say, and that is I would like to invite you all to go down in Portland Harbor with us at the river level and paddle from Cathedral Park down to Kelly Point, for example. I think that'd be a healthy exercise.
Thank you.
Before I have a boat, I'm happy to take you.
Okay, all right. Thank you all very much. Carla, how many people have signed up now?
We have about 50 still.
50? Okay. And what time is it?
It's 7:30.
Okay. So let's stay with 2 minutes. If it gets really late, we'll go down to one. Can you call the first three that will come to the table and the three after that?
There's a person here who has a child. Want to take those people
first?
Oh,
yeah, sure. Do we have anyone besides Bob Salinger with children here? There you are, coming up. At one of our community meetings, I asked if anyone had children, and half the room raised their hand. But we mean if you have children here, we provide you courtesy. Like you. And welcome. Glad you're here. All you have to do is just give us your first and last name, and that clock in front of you will count down to 2 minutes.
Okay. My name is Molly Jansky, and I go to Robert Gray Middle School, and I'm 11. I spend a lot of time on the river fishing, canoeing, sailing, boating, inner tubing, and hanging out on the beach with my friends. I even swim in the river. The river really means a lot to me. I think that it is really important to keep the river healthy. At outdoor school, we learned that it is really important to conserve our rivers, because without healthy rivers, the homeostasis will whack out. We also learned that in order to promote a healthy river, we need to protect the habitat and its wildlife. Another example was the stream project in the third grade. We tested the water quality from Fano Creek. We measured temperature, turbidity, and pH, all things important to living things, including people. We had to work together in teams. Not everyone agreed on how to do it right. I learned that everyone will not always get their own way, and we all must compromise.
Maybe you should repeat that part again.
I learned that everyone will not always get their own way, and we all must compromise.
There you go.
Hey. Yeah. No, that's awesome.
You're doing a great job. Keep going.
It's time to reverse more than a century of damage to the river. Everyone should pay their fair share and make up for the impacts they have done to the river. Everyone should help pay to restore the river. It will take everyone's cooperation and working together. Please make our river healthy for my generation.
You deserve a round of applause just for doing a great job.
And I just have to ask all of us older folks, how many of you learned about turbidity in third grade? Portland Public Schools rock. Thank you very much.
And you're the only one that get claps tonight because you did such a great job of testifying.
And you did it under 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I will be translating some of your testimony for some of my colleagues who are less sophisticated in science matters. And I'll make sure Commissioner Leonard understands exactly what you said later.
Thank you. Sir.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Andrew Jansky. I'm a riverbank and stream restoration and dock engineer. Molly obviously has passion for the river and feels strongly that we need to protect it. Molly also enjoys a river that was cleaner than when I was her age. In fact, my guide friends tell me they're predicting record fish runs this year. I provided a handout to you that shows some specific examples of what the prescriptive code is going to do. The first example is what I call the floating soil. Code requires 30 to 40% compost in the material that you put on the bank. BES designed the Water Pollution Control Riverbank, and they had high water, and it all floated away. That is a very detailed example of what the code will do. The second example is what some people call bioengineering. I'm glad Travis pointed it out. It is a picture of the Toyota Riverbank that was this wonderful riverbank. The code talks about bioengineering using geotextile fabric wrap soil. What you can see is the water eroded away the soil that was in the fabric, and now you see this plastic sitting there in space that can trap fish and hurt fish. The code section says no modifications are prohibited. So it makes people like my job really difficult when details are so prescriptive. So if we adopt it that way, obviously it could be a big failure repeated all up and down the river. So there's a lot of little things like that, examples that, you know, I've gone through the code and found problems. It's just very, very, very detailed, and it limits creativity for people like me to do the right thing. Anyway, getting back to Molly, she has a passion for the river and its health and my job, and everyone in this room has a passion or a job that's connected to the river. She read the Audubon's plea for testimony to come and talk today. You know, does she understand how complex it is? No. Does she know how to fix it?
No.
She's looking to us adults as experts. You're going to hear from a lot of Mollies later in the evening who have been asked to deliver the same message to you. This is the first time I think I've ever said it, but we need to take more time to get it right for Molly's generation. We all can learn from her, and we all need to work together and cooperate again. We all need to pay our fair share, not just industry.
Did you submit specific comments to the parts of the plan that you have found to be of concern to you?
Yeah, I provided that same set of comments to you or through your office. And
just this one sheet?
Yeah, essentially without the pictures and some other information. But there's a lot more to it than those are the easy cherry-picking ones I was able to find.
I guess
your comments are directed towards the proposed code.
It's the same thing, basically. There was not a lot of changes from the original version to the proposed version. Not in the details and overall.
So it'd be helpful if you could maybe talk, if you don't want to write stuff up, with staff.
Yeah, I can. It's definitely a duplicative process, though. That's what I do, is permit and design and build stuff. And there's going to be a lot of overlap.
Part of it is duplicate?
Right now I have to do a whole set of drawings for the Corps and a permit for the Corps. And I'm going to have to do, well, before the plan I think was changed, I was going to have to do a whole set for planning's review with separate narratives and separate...
We've changed that.
Yeah, so you've changed that. So that will help immensely because we had to coordinate two sets of drawings. And
single
it
application.
It costs a lot of money. Yeah, single application will be a huge change.
Well, take, if you wouldn't mind taking another look at it and getting us more comments, because I do recall your comments and that we've worked hard to try to be responsive. So take another look. All right, the next three.
The next three, please come on up, are Alan Sprout, Ann Gardner, and Pamela Ekie. They'll be followed by Kent Studebaker, Jamie Wilson, and Jeff Swanson.
Good evening. Welcome back. Glad you're here. Ms. Gardner.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the commission. I am the executive director of the Working Waterfront Coalition, and we're providing you a packet of profiles of our members and some of the environmental accomplishments that our businesses have achieved over the last couple of decades, and also a copy of our February 5th letter to council. As you know, the Working Waterfront Coalition is supportive of the River Plan goals to improve the environmental conditions in and near the river, and at the same time support the continued viability of the working harbor. And under your leadership, Mayor, I think we're making some headway. We do, however, as you've heard earlier this evening, remain concerned about the details, most specifically those within the proposed zoning code. And we are uncomfortable that the elements of the code will not, in fact, help us achieve the balance that the plan calls for. And I realize that I'm going to get into way too much detail here, really, for a council conversation, but it is all about the details. In our letter to council, item number 7, we asked that the HEP and HIA evaluation not be the exclusive combined credit system for the mitigation bank. And in the response to us, the narrative, the city, it says the city will not require any particular model be used by a mitigation bank. Yet as we were reviewing the package that came to us last week, in the replacement page 195, the language reads, impact evaluation must include HEP and HIA. Mayor, we're confused, and we're not quite sure what to make of this inconsistency. So obviously more specifics and more information would be helpful to us. Similarly, we have some issues with Chapter 33475, new language that was proposed, and we just did discuss that tonight. Businesses want to help the environment. We're willing to give more. The bait is over how we get there and while we're helping the city retain jobs and grow. So we think we can achieve both the economic and environmental goals, but we do need the balance. We made some suggestions in our proposal to you, and we would hope that they would be taken seriously considered moving forward. Thank you.
Mayor, is there some process by which some of these issues or misunderstandings can be addressed between now and whenever that point is that we're going to vote on this?
Absolutely. We, work session that Commissioner Fritz and I had on December 16th generated that I think you have in your packet 31 issues or questions, and we got out answers to every single one of those and or described how the responses were made, and we'll continue to do that if that's helpful.
But to close that gap between the response that she got on that issue and apparently what the current plan says, how are we going to meet?
Well, we take here's an example. I don't know if you saw it. We take copious notes at each of these hearings and get back to everyone. I don't know. Is that a typo or what is that sheet Ann is referring to? Well, we'll get you in a second. It's a typo? Okay. And that's why we have these hearings and why we appreciate you being at the table and pointing out these things. Sir.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Alan Sprott, and I'm the Vice President with Figure Industrial. We own the shipyard down on Swan Island. I've also been recently appointed as the Chair of the Working Waterfront Coalition. I'll bypass my statements on the economic or the importance to the economy of businesses in the North Reach. I think that was covered off pretty well, other than to reiterate that the clusters represented by the manufacturers in the North Reach are a valuable economic resource to not only Portland but to the state of Oregon. Having said that, we do recognize that the over a century and a half of development in the North Reach has taken its toll on habitat and the overall environmental quality of the North Reach. While there have been improvements over the years in the environmental quality of the North Reach of the Willamette, we fully support enhancing the North Reach because we do value the principles of conservation and sustainability, and because we realize that environmental protection is an important and integral part of business. For us, it's really just a matter of how we get there. I have worked in the environmental field for nearly 25 years, and based on my experiences, I believe that a command and control regulatory system can be effective at curing certain environmental problems. The Clean Water Act, for example, has made significant improvements to water quality degraded by industrial discharges. The hazardous waste regulations in the cradle to grave have also been a command and control success. I think there are also failures in command and control regulation. The Superfund cleanup is one example of those, and I think that the Greenway Code is another example of a command and control failure. Fixing the current and emerging environmental problems in the North Reach is going to require some creative thinking and collaboration, not command and control with more regulatory process without results. Creating the Office of Healthy Working Rivers, for example, is a positive step toward collaborative problem solving. We remain very concerned that the Riverview component of the plan will be a command and control failure, imposing rigorous and duplicative review to development projects without the intended results. We urge you to get this plan right. Thank you.
And what about this plan? Do you have details? Because obviously, as people have described accurately, details are important. Do you have details that cause you to be concerned that this is a command and control process?
Well, I think the issue of the regulation below ordinary high water is certainly one that we have concern with. The overall river review process on sites that have been industrially developed for, in some cases, nearly a century, where there is limited habitat value that currently exists, very limited, if any, opportunities to do mitigation on those sites.
That's why we offered the offsite mitigation.
Right, but we still have to do the river review process in many of these cases unless there is an exemption that's already in place in the code.
Right.
But for most of these larger development sites where you need to move aggressively and quickly, you will have the river review process, and at the end of that process, you will still be left with doing the offsite mitigation. So, we would rather just put the money into the river and do the offsite mitigation rather than put the money into studies.
So the fact that we've exempted properties from this process, that we were not exempt under the previous process, the fact that offsite mitigation is allowed, those are all new components to provide businesses the ability to make meaningful environmental reviews. And I want to make sure I understand why you don't think that hits the mark.
I think those do hit the mark, but I think it needs to be expanded. I still think that we have the river review process when those exemptions do not apply. And it's in those particular cases that we would be spending money on the studies rather than spending the money on the river. In the end, after we go through the study, we will still be in a situation where we'll be doing offsite mitigation anyway. So why not go there in the first place?
I think staff will describe that there are some nuances there that I think you'll be happy with.
So, hi. And do you have some specific responses to the mayor's question?
Well, in the case studies that we did, Mayor, and they're cited in our letter, that the process probably would have cost the applicants $50,000 to go through the river review when the net environmental investment from the city's process would be marginal. If we had paid a fee in lieu instead of going through the process, the net environmental benefit for the environment would have been in the neighborhood of $125,000 in a fee in lieu, which is our proposal, which we think is a better proposal than going through river review on the projects that Alan is talking about. We're talking about getting results on the ground and investing in the environment, not investing in a process. And you heard tonight that the process, on one hand, we hear that the process isn't duplicative, it isn't going to be more processed, but on the other hand, we're told that we're going to need to provide a lot of information about lamprey and sturgeon. That is all new information. That is a new level of detail that we haven't provided before. And our consultants are telling us this is going to be a very expensive process. But if it's a project,
it can't be a filibuster. I want you to get a chance to answer the question, so wrap it up.
Another point, Commissioner, is that the way the code is written, if there is mitigation that's required on page 201 of the replacement sections, you are relieved of your on-site obligations only if there are some environmental circumstances and mitigation isn't really helpful there or it's not there's contamination on the site. There isn't one criteria in there that says anything about impact on the economics of the site, the business operation. And that's an oversight. We've asked for that amendment, and we really believe that when mitigation is required, there should be a consideration for the economic conditions of the site, not just the environmental.
So we don't agree with everything you've said, but I'll have staff an opportunity at the end.
Thank you.
Hi.
My name is Pamela Ake, and I'm the president of the Northwest Industrial Neighborhood Association. The organization is sanctioned by the city, and we represent over 500 businesses, and as Aaron Flynn said, thousands of family wage jobs. And because many of our businesses are located in close proximity to the Willamette River, we have been monitoring the development of the river plan since 2000. We've, at each previous opportunity to comment, we have expressed support for a balanced program that addresses both the economic and environmental interests. And I'm here today to reaffirm that support and commitment, but to ask you to really consider the 7 specific recommendations from to improve the river plan that comes from the Working Waterfront Coalition. The NENA members are very concerned. While most of our businesses are located away from the river, there's lots of, and won't be directly impacted, there's lots of businesses that are, that depend upon those 50 businesses along the river. They're our bread and butter. They're the economic engines of the Giles Lake Industrial Sanctuary. I run an employment agency, and I can tell you the last couple of years have been very tough. Our business has probably dropped 70%. And I've had to lay off people in my office that I've never had to do before. So the best way for you to help us is here in Portland is to streamline the permit process so we can expand and grow. The river review increases the time, the cost, and the uncertainty of investing in the Portland's working waterfront. Embrace their 7 recommendations. And in closing, I ask you to send a message to all businesses in Portland. We want your investment. We need your jobs. The river plan is important, and we will take the time necessary to get it right.
And
thank
we
you.
Will. Thank you all very much. Carla, the next three?
Next three are Kent Studebaker, Jamie Wilson, and Jeff Swanson. They will be followed by Jennifer Wehunt, Gordon Huntsman, and Ron Gogert.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, Mr. Studebaker.
Mayor Adams, thank you very much. My name is Kent Studebaker. I own a warehouse on St. Helens Road. We have 2 rental sites in the warehouse. It's very important to us what happens here because the impact of the river plan has a direct impact on the viability of the businesses in Portland. And at least the business that's in one of our warehouse sites now directly sells either 2 businesses on the river or to their customers directly sell them. So it has a big impact. I was going to ask you not to adopt anything at this meeting, but I find that's not necessary to make that request, and I'm delighted.
It was never a plan to adopt anything.
Okay, well, then I'm glad. The other thing I was going to do is we have, as Pamela said, I'm on the NENA board, and we reviewed the recommendations from the Working Waterfront Coalition, and I would ask that, as Pamela has suggested, that you take those very seriously. We've reviewed them. We agree with them. And it's important that the business view that are represented by those recommendations be given the weight we think it deserves. Thank you.
And we do, and we will. Hi.
Hi. Good evening, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. My name is Jamie Wilson. I'm the regional director for the metals recycling business of Central Steel Industries and a member of the Working Waterfront Coalition. Earlier, you heard from our division president, Don Hammerker, and I wanted to provide some more details on our division and about our operations located on the Willamette River. Each year, we process and recycle almost 4.5 million tons of end-of-life scrap metals, 800,000 to 1 million tons of that in the Oregon region alone. The processed scrap is either sent to our steel mill in McMinnville or shipped to mills in the Far East for melting into new steel products. About 75% of our scrap is exported overseas, and we loaded 18 vessels at our site last year, and we will load another 18 this fiscal year. Each ship on average has 30,000 metric tons going out. Additionally, we transfer via the Columbia and Willamette Rivers 40 barges per year with 2,000 tons average per barge. Schnitzer did not own our Rivergate site until the 1970s. In fact, the city once owned a good part of our property. The site has been used for a variety of industrial purposes for decades. As you know, the site was a Kaiser shipyard that produced the Liberty ships to help with the wartime effort. Schnitzer has plans for our site. 2 years ago, we installed the mega shredder as part of a $70 million multi-year investment strategy. We also just completed phase one of our stormwater system that reduced our outfalls to the river from 22 to 9, and our future multi-million dollar investments over the next 2 years will reduce that further to just 2. Nobody told us to do this project. We're investing because we care about the environment and it's a responsible action to take for business. As a company, we've spent over $20 million in the last 4 years, $8 million in Portland alone on the environment, so perhaps we can get added to that list with the Port of Portland. Since the informal workshop with the mayor, I have become personally engaged in this process, but I still have many questions about what the permit process will cost, how long it will take, and what obstacles need to be overcome. I won't be able to get approval for these projects until I have confidence and I can deliver on time and on budget. I simply cannot and will not present the project in Portland to Don Hammaker and the financial team of Schnitzer Steel until I have answers. I'm competing with Tacoma, Oakland, Sacramento, and the 42 other Schnitzer locations for capital expansion dollars. Consequently, capital plans may get diverted elsewhere, if I can have 5 more seconds or so. Let me hasten to add that we support the goals of the river plan to enhance the environment and sustain a prosperous harbor, and we will continue to work with you to improve the draft zoning code so that our business and other river-dependent businesses like ours can expand, create new industrial jobs, and ensure a prosperous working harbor for generations to come. However, our company and all those that are part of the Working Waterfront Coalition need the details of the river plan vetted before policy is adopted, investment is chilled, and the intent of the river improvement and habitat restoration goals are not met. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor Adams, members of council, my name is Jeff Swanson. I'm the logistics manager for Schnitzer Steel in Portland and vice chair of the Portland Freight Committee. Industrial and freight mobility interests support the goals of the river plan, a healthy river system for all stakeholders. The practical mechanism for balanced attainment of those goals is clearly at issue, and so it is wise to take more time, as you've determined to do, to examine policy impacts, ecological and economic. Portland is a dynamic, complex, and vital multimodal highway, rail, and marine transportation hub. Many of the connection points between modes that make this hub function occur on industrial lands in the North Reach. It is critical that these businesses continue to be able to invest in the infrastructure that allows for selection and use of the most cost-effective and sustainable modes of transportation available. One of the most effective methods to reduce carbon footprint is to shift modes of transportation. This frequently requires capital investment. Jamie Wilson, my boss, just mentioned the difficulties involved in securing capital for major construction and expansion projects. These projects are extremely sensitive to permitting time, length, and cost as to whether or not funding can be obtained, issues which are likely to be exacerbated in the public process as described in River Review in its present form. In a broader sense, then, the river plan could have some unintended effects, such as causing increased systemic reliance on truck transportation to move goods that could otherwise move by different modes, such as marine. This could directly conflict with other important policy pursuits like the city's Carbon Action Plan goals and objectives. The Portland Freight Committee recommends that council and staff continue to resolve outstanding conflicts with the Working Waterfront Coalition prior to adoption of the River Plan. I appreciate your time, leadership, and thoughtful attention to this important discussion. Thank you.
Thank you all for your testimony. Carla, next three.
Jennifer Wehunt, Gordon Huntsman, and Ron Gogert. They will be followed by John Molis, Marla Hansen, and Bruce Hoyt.
Good evening. Welcome to City Council. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Why don't you begin, ma'am?
Thank you for your time this evening. My name is Jennifer Wehunt. I'm this evening environmental manager for the J.R. Simplot Company Rivergate Terminal. Simplot is one of North America's largest privately held food and agribusiness companies in North America, and we employ approximately 10,000 people worldwide. At our 24/7 operation along the Willamette, we import and distribute fertilizer components essential to farming operations in the Northwest. These products arrive via ship and leave our facility by truck and rail. Simplot is a member of the Working Waterfront Coalition, and we have been monitoring the development of the river plan for the past 2 years. I have testified at previous public hearings on this topic. Regarding the proposed 15% landscaping requirement, I appreciate that this portion has been set aside. That decision was important to us, and it helps smooth the way for an expansion project we have planned. However, I remain concerned that many details of the river plan have yet to be worked out. For example, I think too many expansion projects will be subjected to the proposed river review, and that will have unnecessary processing time and costs. We would much rather invest our money in funding habitat projects than pay consultants to process a redundant permit. Here is an example of a project that we would like to pursue, but that may be curtailed due to our concerns about being subjected to river review. In order to accommodate larger vessels at our facility, we need to install an additional pile dolphin at our dock. The code, as drafted, is not clear whether or not this would be considered a replacement or an accessory structure, and hence it is unclear to us whether we would be subjected to river review. This is an example of language within the current proposed river plan that we feel should be clarified prior to adoption. Regardless of our particular case, the future of the working harbor depends on your decisions. Thank you for your careful attention to this matter.
Do you know if the example you just mentioned, would that be subject to federal and state review?
We're unsure at this point. We know at this point it's going to be about a $100,000 project. It's not large for our facility. But some of the descriptions within the code, whether or not it's 24 feet from the previous breasting dolphin, whether or not there's going to be one or two or a set of two or four, it's just not clear to us in the current code.
So let's see if staff can give you some clarity when they get up here in time.
That'd be great.
My name is Ron Guguette. Thank you for having me here tonight. I've been working as a consultant now for 2 years. Prior to that, I was 26 years with Natural Resource Trustee Agencies and had a lot of opportunity to work with HEA and other models of that sort. So that's what I'm going to primarily focus on.
And do you have a client now?
I do have a client. I'm working for Gunderson directly. In a nutshell, the city wants to combine a couple of different models, HSI, which is Habitat Suitability Index, HEP, and HEA into an accounting framework, a modeling framework. It's going to be a very difficult process. It's not been done before. I've done a number of HEAs around the country, and I've not seen HEP used as the front end to determine the degree of loss of function. That's a new idea. It's going to be a lot of work involved in developing that. It's good to know that there will be a continuing effort in that regard. Other methods for assigning habitat values are available, and one in particular is the Willamette Partnership's effort, their salmon habitat value calculator, which is more of a state-of-the-art model as opposed to the tools that are being proposed here that have been around since the 70s. As a result of this uncertainty, we're not going to know what the model outputs are going to look like until those models are actually developed. And it's this time, it's going to be very difficult to understand the impacts on the regulated community and even the benefits here until those things are worked out. And I would like to at least say that that does need to be done to the extent that I could be involved and would be helpful. I'd be willing to do that. I just think that when you do that, it's best to have representatives of both the regulated community and the public participating in that work group. That's the best way to get it, to get buy-in and get acceptance at the end of the game.
You will.
And after that, you can tell what the value added from this process is as well as what the impacts will be.
So part of the reason that, and this gets very technical, but just for the council's consideration, part of the reason to use HEPIA is, again, to try to simplify the process and provide not multiple requirements for consultancy work, but to get value added out of what is going to be required of, in many cases, by the federal and state level. So thank you for your testimony. Sir.
My name is Gordon Huntsman. I am the vice chair of the Linton Neighborhood Association. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak. Begin by saying that the Linton Neighborhood Association and the neighborhood generally supports the North Reach Plan. But we ask two things. The first is an amendment be added to the plan that establishes a long-term commitment to the current exclusion of the Linton waterfront from prime industrial land or the regional significant industrial area designations. The second thing that we ask is that you support the current efforts of organizations like BP, NOAA, the Audubon Society, and others to create an environmental sanctuary on the Linton waterfront. The Linton community is eager to work with like-minded organizations to create an environmental sanctuary on the Linton waterfront to help the process of healing the river. We, by supporting our petition and our position, you have the opportunity to do a good thing for the Linton neighborhood, for the Willamette River, and for the city of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you all very much for your testimony. Really appreciate it. Probably the next three.
John Mullis, Marla Harrison, and Bruce Hoyt. They'll be followed by Jim McKenna, Joe Esmond, and David Harvey.
Commissioner Mullis, welcome back.
Good evening.
Glad you're here. Why don't we begin with you?
Okay. Good evening, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. My name is John Mullis. I'm the Executive Secretary Treasurer for the Columbia Pacific Building Trades Council, which is an umbrella organization for about 20,000 union construction workers in Northwest Oregon and Southwest Washington. Tonight, our council wishes to go on record in support of the Working Waterfront Coalition and the businesses in the North Harbor in their efforts to find a balanced plan. We believe their recommendations represent an even-handed approach and will hopefully result in opportunities for economic development and still provide appropriate environmental protections. Currently, our building trades members are 35% unemployed, and I'm not so naive to think that whenever you do pass this plan in the next month or two, that a week after that, that will put our members back to work. But I do believe that passing a good, balanced plan will send a positive signal that Portland is serious about economic development and putting people back to work. I also believe that there's only one way out of the economic mess that our city and state and nation are in, and that's putting people back to work who in turn will pay taxes. Stimulus dollars have put some of our members back to work, and that's greatly appreciated. But at the end of the day, the only true recovery will come from private sector job creation. I want to thank, anytime an existing business in the North Harbor chooses to expand or a new business chooses to locate there, that will put building trades members to work, and it will also provide employment for the in-house people that those businesses will hire. So I want to thank Mayor Adams, Commissioner Fritz, and all of you for all the hard work that you've put into this process. I know it's been a very lengthy one. I appreciate that you're going to continue working on this and trust that you'll bring back a balanced plan that will provide for economic development and provide for proper environmental protections. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Hi.
Hey, how are you? Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Bruce Holte. I'm the Secretary Treasurer of the International Longshore Warehouseman Union, Local 8, and also a Port of Portland Commissioner. Don't endanger the working harbor. Portland's working harbor is an industrial sanction area that creates some of the best jobs in the region. The 50 industrial marine businesses in Portland supports approximately 20,000 local jobs, bring in almost $1 billion in personal income to the region's economy. The average income of these jobs is $45,000 a year, where the base income in Portland is $41,000. One out of every nine jobs in Portland area is located or supported by the work done in the Portland Harbor Industrial District. These businesses and the jobs they create are in the very competitive global economy. They are very sensitive to increased costs, which you've heard here tonight from other people, other members. Don't add extra time and cost to permitting. Businesses in the working harbor already have to meet stringent rules when developing in a Willamette Don't add more process and uncertainties. Businesses have already offered to pay a fee instead of going through unnecessary process. That would be better for job growth, and it would ultimately mean more money for environmental restoration. Make the plan balance. The plan is supposed to create a path for both environmental and economical investments.